Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for the 432nd time. Lizzie, it's so lovely to see you. So good to see you. And welcome to all of you who are around us. We're going to do in a moment what we do every week, and there is an entire archive of conversations. If you are just finding your way to us and you are in some way inspired or touched by this conversation, you should know that you can go to turningtowards.life, the website. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on YouTube, and you can go back and you can listen to or watch any of the prior conversations. And I know that there's much, much in there. It would take you many days to complete the whole thing, but we can do what we always do, which is to start with a source that you have chosen for us this week, Lizzie, a very rich piece of writing, which we will read, and then this will unfold into a conversation that we never know quite where it goes. But as you and I have just been saying, Lizzie, there's something very magical and important about having a conversation about things that matter, where we don't know where it goes, and we give one another time to speak and listen. And that's what has fed this over all of these years of doing it. And it's important to say at this point that in a month, so this is, we're recording this in January 2026, in March 2026, we are beginning the second six-month season of Turning Towards Life Live, which is an opportunity to come and gather on Zoom with us and with others, and to engage in this kind of conversation around sources with equal depth over a period of months. We're nearly at the end of our first season, and it has been really, really wonderful. So we're throwing open the doors again from March. And if you're interested in joining us, turningtowards.life is the place to go. And you can sign up for our emails and all those kind of things there. And that's just the, like the wrapping around what we're really here to do today, yeah, which is to dive into this source that you've brought us.
Thanks, Justin. I'm, as ever, feeling, I don't know, seem to be always renewed and miraculized sitting here and entering into each of these episodes, Justin, with you. And somebody said on Turning Towards Life Live this week, Justin, that it never kind of gets old, like however much we sit in front of one another and bring a source between us. I guess because there's a freshness each time of learning and entering into new territory, which, by the way, the source wouldn't even maybe have to be different, but because we're different every time and because life is life, there's an aliveness in it. And so I feel that really strongly too, that there's a freshness and an aliveness. And you say 432 times, and I don't know what else I've ever done 432 times other than maybe change a nappy or go to the loo or something or load the dishwasher. But this time of us gathering never feels old. And I never think, oh no, it's just, ooh, here we are again, I can feel. And every time it's either your source or my source, in the kind of the days leading up, it sits there in reflection with me. And I was holding this morning just in the shower thinking, you've got this lovely source from Mark Nepo coming. And just thinking how grateful I am to all of the people who've written all of the sources, because it's always, I think maybe the way that we choose sources is there's something in our hearts, there's something in my heart that feels, I mean, everything feels unresolved in my heart, if you know what I mean. And then there's a poem or a piece of writing, and I think, oh, well, that would allow me to have the conversation that I don't really know how to have. How great. Like, it's like an act of leadership, leading me into new territory, the way Mark has written this. This feels so strong, this theme in my heart that we're going to be talking about today, that this piece of writing of his, but I don't know really what to say about it or how to say it. And then this is an opportunity to learn how to say it. And then when I find the language, we get to kind of enter into those new places together. So I'm feeling really grateful to Mark today, Mark Nepo, and I'm really grateful to everybody who's here. I've got this longing to kind of name everyone who's listening, Justin, which of course I can't do. But I want to say, I want everyone to feel that they are individually honored for being here. So I want Gavin to know, I want Bobby to know, I want Mark to know. I want Lucy to know. Like all the people that I know are listening and who I've heard are listening. I want Regis to know. Bonnie to know. Like all the people that are here. And I haven't obviously said everyone's name, but I want to be able to do that somehow. So anyway, I'm just declaring that I want that so that people can feel really welcome to be here and really seen in being here. And I'm so grateful that this is interesting and in some way an act of leadership that, yeah, that we're all kind of walking the path together, leading each other down the path. So here we go. This is called Adrift by Mark Nepo. Thank you, Mark. Everything is beautiful, and I am so sad. This is how the heart makes a duet of wonder and grief. The light spraying through the lace of the fern is as delicate as the fibres of memory forming their web around the knot in my throat. The breeze makes the birds move from branch to branch, as this ache makes me look for those I've lost in the next room, in the next song, in the laugh of the next stranger. In the very centre, under it all, what we have that no one can take away, and all that we've lost face each other. What we have that no one can take away, and all that we have lost face each other. It is there that I'm adrift, feeling punctured by a holiness that exists inside everything. I'm so sad, and everything is beautiful.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'll read it to you. And of course, for all of you who are listening, whether we know your names or not, and you could email us to tell us that you're listening. hello@turningtowards.life. We'd love to hear from you. You can find this always on the turningtowards.life website and in the email that we send out from there and in the show notes. And this is Mark Nepo. And it's called Adrift. Everything is beautiful, and I am so sad. This is how the heart makes a duet of wonder and grief. The light spraying through the lace of the fern is as delicate as the fibres of memory forming their web around the knot in my throat. The breeze makes the birds move from branch to branch, as this ache makes me look for those I've lost in the next room, in the next song, in the laugh of the next stranger. And in the very centre, under it all, what we have that no one can take away, and all that we've lost face each other. It is there that I'm adrift, feeling punctured by a holiness that exists inside everything. I am so sad, and everything is beautiful.
Thank you, Justin. Oh my gosh, this feels really hard to talk about. There's so much feeling in it for me, and so much reality in it. And I'm kind of led to thinking about, I was on the way to a funeral once, and I suddenly realized that like grief and love weren't different things, that they don't exist without the other somehow. And I guess the order of it for me was like, oh, so when you love somebody, you grieve for them, but if you didn't love them, you wouldn't grieve. So they're not separate. And then when, also the other way around, when there is grief, you could see how you loved, when maybe you didn't know that before. Like things that felt obscured suddenly become visible in grief. And yes, there's the grief of somebody not having a bodily form anymore. For me, animals and humans, and the loss of physical possibility with them, and conversational and general being togetherness in physicalness. There's that. And then there's also the kind of the grief that I feel whilst everybody's still alive, which is comes to me in understanding and feeling as best I can that this is all not a given, that this is an impermanent situation, that we are fragile in terms of existence, and that we can't fend everything off, and we're all subject to the same laws of living and dying. And having that kind of daily perspective can't help, and I can't undo that, I can't unsee that, I can't unfeel that. That impermanence is clonked in my heart. And having that here, and having all kinds of poetry and films and things to remind me of that all the time, I feel like this thing that Mark is saying of what we have that no one can take away and all that we've lost, face each other. It feels like that place where he is saying that he's adrift seems like a, I don't know, in this moment feels like a golden place that has me be able to actually be here. Like, for that, I'm willing to be here somehow. And for that, I'm happy to not avoid things like I would normally do. For that, I'm up for feeling lots of things. So there's something golden about it that's kind of painful and real, and also an invitation at the same time. And I'm thinking, Justin, of the conversation we had last week about kind of the happiness thing, and how this, like the demand to be happy in the world, and all that enables us to leave out, if that's all we focused on or whatever. And this comes along and I think, oh my gosh, yeah, what an articulation of everything that is real and tender and alive and meaningful, and how golden it is, even though it doesn't fit with all of the things that I got to learn growing up of what it meant to have a good life. And this kind of enrichment that comes from this really deep and wide and sometimes scary and rich and crazy adriftness that Mark's speaking of with us. And then him calling it holiness. It's like, oh, what is this? And how do I enable this to just be here, and to not fall asleep to it, or to not avoid it, or to not, or to push it away, or to pretend that it's not here or something? And that's this invitation I'm receiving from Mark today.
I love hearing you speak about this, Lizzie, and it stirs so much inside me. And right now, even before talking about my response to you and to these words, I'm also marveling at what can happen through words. We can hear, read Mark's words, and then all of this stirs up between us and in these all these circles of everyone else who's with us, listening and watching. I remembered whilst you were talking, I caught a glimpse whilst you were talking of how often in my life, much less so in recent years, but still sometimes, because I feel so much all the time. That's one of the kinds of people that I am, filled with so many feelings. that sometimes it's felt unbearable. And what I've wanted to do is to push down everything, pretend that none of what Mark is saying is true, not love too much and not grieve too much. Because I don't think the one can, for all the reasons you say, I don't think that one can come without the other, that actual love, that sort of wonder at the presence of another person or an animal or a tree or a mountain or a house or a river, or it is not separate from grief, which is exactly what you're saying and Mark is saying. They are bound together by, and this, I had this sudden, very strong sense whilst you were speaking that I was beginning to see it in a new way, that they're bound together by time, that love and grief aren't opposites. And we may experience them in our lives. One way we may experience them is first love and then grief, if we're willing to love. And then, of course, grief is filled with love, like you say. And then, as you say, rightly, love is filled with grief. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why it can be hard sometimes for us to love. Because when we get frightened about what it will be like to grieve, I look at you, my dear friend, and I know that there will be a time in your life or in my life when one of us is not here, or both of us are not here. And that's true of all friendships and relationships and families. And so in order to be able to love, we have to be able to grieve, because we will inevitably feel it. And that way, time gets collapsed. And this was the thing that I suddenly felt like I got whilst you were talking was, oh, it's only to do with time that we experience it this way round. Love and then grief. And then because we then try to avoid the feeling of grief that we are fear will come, because we know it will come, then we cut off love, or we cut off grief. We love but then cut off grief, which goes in terrible places. I think grief unfelt turns into rage, turns into resentment, turns into all kinds of things that are not good for anyone. But it also struck me that then in order to love fully, we have to be able to grieve as we love.
Yeah.
I have to be able to love you right now and at the same time feel the grief at the ending that will inevitably come. All the people I care about. And if the extent to which I don't do that is the extent to which I hold back from this holiness that Mark is talking about, the holiness in his poem, I think, is the meeting point between grief and love, that if we'll allow ourselves to occupy it, is here. He says it's inside everything. And so maybe one of the understandable situations that we're in because we live in time, and so we tend to see it as a sort of linear timeline. We imagine we can hold them apart, but that's just a sort of, from one perspective. From another perspective, they're just both interpenetrating all the time, and I know this to be true, that I can spend most of my life fighting that dynamic. I mean, literally a life's project of making sure never to feel the bigness of all of this. And yet somehow I think feeling the bigness of all of this is what we're here for. Like, if we're not going to be awake to the holiness of being able to be in time and in space and in the same place as one another, and our lives intersecting and invest, as I'm wanting to do now as I speak to you, to invest my speaking and listening to you with all of that love and all of that grief and all of the wonder in it, how the heart makes a duet of wonder is the other word that grief. It's so different to talk to you that way and to listen to you that way from there, rather than I'm kind of going to keep it all under wraps and not let myself be affected. I'm really feeling affected by it.
Yeah, I'm imagining, Justin, like you said, that these are right. I don't know if they're next to each other or like of each other or in bed with each other or slapped and smushed together with each other or something. But they seem very intertwined in my system now, in my body now. And I'm imagining the kind of, if I could hold it, you know, if I could hold these places right next to one another in me, what kind of different kind of micro decisions I might make. And maybe big decisions too. But I'm just thinking of the ordinary resentments that I hold or the sense of lack or righteousness or being cross about things. What does it do to hold those things right there in those moments too, if I could? Like, what does it do to my life to let grief and love and wonder be there as I'm trying to get everyone's shoes on as they're going out the door and everybody's being entirely non-compliant and we're going to be late, you know? Just the ordinariness of those things, which are, from this place where I'm sitting now, what an extraordinary privilege to be putting our shoes on and going out the door. Just in existential terms of like, we are here. We get to love. We get to know one another a little tiny piece. These human universes collide and we get to see slices of each other. And even over many years, the grand mystery of us is not revealed to one another anyway. We're massive. And maybe that's what grief and love and wonder held consciously in my being, in my imagination, in my heart, in my feelings every day. Maybe it makes for a very different life for all of us, where we, don't know, feels real. Like, as in, that's just all true, isn't it? Nobody's going to be able to argue with this. Nobody's ever going to say, well, actually, no, we don't die. No, that's not what happens. I mean, there's the other worlds probably that exist beyond having a body and all those things. But I'm talking about losing bodily form and time being finite here in a physical body. And it's unarguable. And yet, and all of us, you know, we're all not very far from people losing, like none of us are very far from the ones that we love or the ones people close to us love, something happening and people dying and illness coming. And like, it's always around, it's always here. And holding that in the ordinariness of life and feeling gratitude for everybody not putting their socks and shoes on in the time frame that we need, because just to have that choice to be doing that is quite something. And letting it really infiltrate, like really letting it be really, really true in my daily life, that this is not all a given. And it is also given to be here. It is given. But it's not, I don't know what the word is, like it's not to be taken for granted or something. Like, it's not just, it doesn't just happen that everybody lives till they're 90 and everything's fine. Like, that doesn't, it may happen,
yeah,
but it doesn't happen to everyone. And so I'm feeling the invitation to let this infiltrate and be here and, like, to be infused in everything, the big and the little, and letting my life have that quality to it, where I'm open to feeling this in as many moments as I can remember.
I think what you just said, Lizzie, about I've lost the way you said it. Later on, I'll have to go back and listen. Or you maybe have to remind me about the givenness and not givenness of this. Like to not, it didn't have, none of this had to be the way that it was. Yet here we are. And yet it is also given to us at the same time. It's just marvelous to hold. It feels like the tension, it feels like there's love, grief, tension, like both interpenetrate one another. Yeah, I think you and I were talking about the film Hamnet last week, which I'm going to make another plug for, because I think one of the things it does is it brings the tenderness and the fragility and the joy of life. I think maybe what we've done in a lot of our society these days is separated the sense of living and dying of, for a lot of us, is we sort of push it out of view, and then that, yeah. And it could all end tomorrow. I mean, for all of us, and yet here we are. I think it's really important to hold these. And I feel as we're talking, I've been feeling more and more how much it matters to remember all of this in our lives when we can. It really matters. It's not, doesn't feel optional to me, unless we want to skate over the surface of life. I think also in a very fearful way. I think the extent to which we individually and collectively in our culture push grief and loss out of the way, we also push joy and love out of the way. And then we get very afraid. Because if I feel like it shouldn't all be about to disappear, mm-hmm. if I imagine that you, for example, will always be here, or I will always be here, and nothing possibly could happen to either of us, and I'm like, then when it does, the inevitable catastrophes that happen, calamities that happen, we're so ill prepared. But more importantly than that, this image of skating over, like what it is like to scrabble around skating on ice all the time. I was thinking whilst you were talking, you mentioned going to a funeral, and I was thinking about the funeral I went to most recently, who is for someone who I didn't get to see very often, but who respected and cared for very much. And she died very suddenly. She got an illness that couldn't really be caught, and it was a medical emergency. And one day she was feeling unwell, and the next day she died. And at a Jewish funeral, there is this amazing, amazing practice. I'm sure other cultures have it, but I think it's the best thing. But it took me a really long while to enter into it, which is they dig out all of the earth from the grave and the person gets put in. And then there's a bunch of shovels and everyone pitches in to fill in the grave. And I remember when I first saw that going, oh, I'm not going anywhere near this. I felt much too frightened to. And then for a while I would watch other people. Like if it was somebody who's, I wasn't in the family, I'd watch the close-in people do it. And these days, I'll always go and pick up the shovel and join in. And the sound of the earth falling, landing on the coffin of the person who's been buried is so shocking and so brilliant at the same time. It's like but the other thing is that the whole thing feels like the act of the most exquisite care. Like if I care about something, the thing I want to do is I want to play my part in that moment. And it's got all of this in it. So I know that when I get to go to a funeral, I will always make sure I stay to at least take a part for a little bit, because it does this thing that Mark says, is it pulls into the center, gets me in contact with what's underneath of it all, that nobody can take away, the place where love and grief land and time dissolves, because they were all the same thing. Anyway, when I was at Sylvia's funeral, I was thinking, well, this part of her life is always there in her life, even from the moment we're born, it's there, just as our birth is there, even in the moment when we've died. Time is not really, we experience it in this very like linear way, but it's all there all the time. So then if I can be with you, for example, or Lizzie, actually, I'm just thinking about being with somebody who I know less well, who I may be less invested in, who may just be a fleeting contact. It may be the person who crosses across from me as they cross the crossing on the road, or someone where I paid for my shopping, or if I can feel even for a moment the luminous holy place inside everything that is their birth and their death and mine and all of ours, then it's possible to feel, as Mark says, punctured by a holiness that exists inside everything, to feel so sad at the loss of it and to feel the beauty of all of it. And yes, I forget that a lot, but what a way to live. What a way to live inside everything that comes our way if we can.
Yeah. Was just feeling, Justin, to feel all of that and to think of the sound of the earth hitting the coffin and participating and allowing ourselves to feel all of this, how kind of big we need to be. You know, I can feel as I'm tense and all tied up in myself and wanting things to be a certain way and blah, blah, blah. It's so impossible to even find that. And maybe that's why we're so afraid of grief as well, because of how small our receptacle of us is, of how little of life we really let in. And I'm feeling this commitment to expansion, to widening, to kind of relaxation of this whole clinging onness of being human. Because without that widening and without that deepening and broadening, how on earth would I let this run through my body? And so I'm feeling really glad that that is possible for humans, for us all to know that there's a way that we can grow. We can grow our hearts big enough to feel. We can keep committing to widening when we feel like this is too much. And we've spoken about this lots of times, I think, on Turning Towards Life, Justin, of when a feeling comes and we think, oh no, this is going to have me, this one. And then we have to learn, because we can't make them go away. Like, they won't go. They'll keep coming unless I turn towards them. Like, we've learned that. And so then how do I be big enough to let that come through me and feel it, actually feel it? And I'm feeling that the way I do that is to be bigger, to be more porous, to let life flow through me, that I don't, I'm not wandering around as this such a tiny receptacle that I can't feel it. It's like, then it's going to break me maybe. But if I could be in my body and my life in a way that's has flow and expansion and kind of breath in it, that massive freight train of love and grief gets to ride through me, and I get made by it. I get widened by it. And I can feel it takes such courage to do that. I know when I've been hit by feelings, these feelings of love and grief intersecting, and like watching Hamnet was one of them, Justin. Frankly, that film needs like a warning on it. You've got to breathe. You've got to be big. You've got to have, like, let your heart be very gentle on that day where you sit there and you let yourself be with that film. And goodness me, I it's still so alive in me, Justin, Hamnet, every day. I can't stop letting it be here because it's so beautiful and so whole about humanness. And we have to be really big to sit there and receive that gift that those makers and artists and crew and producers and whoever have made for the world. We have to be big. And thankfully we can become bigger to receive the things that come our way. And I'm amazed that, I don't know, like, being human keeps amazing me, that we can feel that big and we can feel that much, and life is that. And we have apparently these bodies and these organs and these systems that can actually take it, that we can actually receive the massiveness of what this life is. Seems totally excellent and totally bonkers.
Hmm. Well, that is very joyful for me to be reminded of that, Lizzie, at this moment in this conversation. Who I love that we don't know really what we're going to talk about. It's such a joy to be in a conversation that reveals and reveals and reveals. Yes, we can be vast. In fact, we are vast. And I think maybe we need people like Mark Nepo to remind us that although I had this fabulous thought, I don't mean it's a super smart thought or something, I just mean it was a joyful thought to have, that we arrive in this life vast and then we forget how vast we are because we have to get along with learning all the things we have to learn. And then we make the mistake of thinking that we're really small and that we can't meet life because, but we talked about this last week, we're made of life. We are nature expressing itself. We are life expressing itself. So it wouldn't be unreasonable to imagine that we could meet life and that's, we could take our part in it. I don't mean understand it all, but we could. And this sense, it's so important. And this will resonate in me and through me over the coming days as a kind of reminder and a remembering that what we're here to do is to keep on allowing ourselves to open and open and open and open so that more and more of this can be present in us, because here we are, we are the ones to witness it and to be part of it. That's what we're here for, and it is available to us. And that doing that then informs everything else. Mm-hmm. How we pay, how we friend, how we work, how we do the dishes. I feel like I've just been a bit sort of slammed with excellent life-giving words and an invitation that I didn't see coming, and I'm very grateful for.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling really grateful too, Justin, and miraculized and multitudinous and complex and vast. I love that word vast that you used, much better than big. I think I'm saying big because my 2-year-old constantly says big, big. But you see, all of that, the miracle of language and the miracle of that we're here and we can say these things to one another, Justin, and this jumping off point that Mark's given us and the feeling in our hearts that there's something to be wondered about, to be reflected on, and then having a go, just having a go at saying things that feel meaningful and that feel like they are supportive of living our lives well and fully is such a gift. So I just want to say thank you, Justin, that we do this and that we're in this together. It's a really wonderful thing. And thank you, everybody, for being here. And imagine me saying your name and saying thank you after it, because that's what I want. That's what I'm intending, what I mean. So thank you for being here, everyone. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Mark Nepo. And we'll be back next week with another source of wonderment for us all.
We will. I'm just going to add one thing, Lizzie, before we go. You'll know this because you were there. In our penultimate month of Turning Towards Life live that we just did, where I want to say this to all of you who are listening, you can come and do this with us and with others. And people in the group were saying, a number of people said, it's remarkable and so necessary to have places it's possible to find words like this, and how few of us have places to do that in our lives. Yeah. Because of the web of relationships we're in and how we're in them. Where do we get a place to find our way through this kind of stuff? And that's what Turning Towards Life Live is, and it is open to everyone. You can find out about it on our website. And if you want to talk to us about it, about what it would be to join it, or any questions, hello@turningtowardslife.com, you'll find both Lizzie and me, and we will respond. And the doors open in March, so we'd love to welcome you there. And it's this, every month, with others. It's marvellous. Very exciting. Okay, I've said
my
thing.
Thank you for saying that, Justin.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.